like rivers in the desert. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody who agrees said amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Magnify his name because he's worthy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Blessed be your name.
Glory. Amen. Thank you, praise team. Everybody get a Bible, get a smartphone, get something with the word on it. Coming your way soon. For some of you, it won't take you very long. For some of you, it might take a little bit longer. Just depends on how familiar you are with your word and how sensitive you are to the Spirit of God. It's not a test to test your spirituality. I just felt led by the Spirit to do this. I'm going to read to you out of Jeremiah chapter 33. And you might want to read the whole chapter when you get home or when you get time. But I really like what the word says. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, you know, you can be in captivity and God will still talk to you. That's not what the Lord said to Jeremiah, but I'm just saying, he was right there in prison, and God didn't abandon or forsake him. Came right there where he was. Jeremiah's out there preaching in the name of his God. And the people are mocking him, ridiculing him. He's got false prophets prophesying one thing and God declaring another. And Jeremiah decided to go with God. And it got him locked up in prison, ridiculed by his peers. His own familiars, meaning those who were closely affiliated, associated with him, even to the point of family, was against him. God said, don't trust none of them. They're not with you. But the Lord was with him and gave him a word. Told him the children of Israel are going into captivity. It's been ordained to be so, but I'm going to bring them out. At the end of 70 years, I'm going to bring them out. And this is exactly what God did. And this is what he had to share about their coming out. Thus said the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me. This is a very familiar passage of scripture. Many know throughout the body of Christ. You might want to, if you're not familiar with it, memorize it. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. Many in the body have taught it as a encouragement to pray and to seek God, especially when you're in a place that you don't know what to do. God says this, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Because God knows all things. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times, and he is omnipotent. He possesses all power and authority. Might and dominion are his. Can I get an amen if you believe that? Amen. If you don't believe that, just say, help me. All right, help. Brother Joshua's right on it. Help me. She's one of my greatest listeners. Praise God. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I have slain in my anger and in my fury, and for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure. Everybody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Where is our health care system coming from? Somebody talk to me. It's not just a political say. It's the word of God. We have to determine that we're going to live based on kingdom principles and not based on worldly principles. God called us out of darkness. Oh, man, I got to get there. God called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You still looking for your scripture? Okay, how many of you got your scripture? How many still need some more time? Just one person? Everybody didn't raise their hand and say they had the scripture. And just one person still needs some more time? What does that mean? Y'all not going to read your scripture? Is that what that means? Praise God. Obedience is always better than sacrifice. You could sing hallelujah and lift your hands and worship God, but if you can't obey him, that hallelujah means nothing to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. Woo! God said, that don't mean a thing to me. Not if you can't obey me. Praise God. Turn with me. Ephesians chapter 4. When you get to Ephesians chapter 4, say amen. Because I've said it time and time again, but it's like, let me take you to the scripture. So, you know, it's not like it's just my theology or my doctrine. Well, that's just what he says or what he thinks. When you get there, say amen. Okay, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, what does the word henceforth mean? From now on, amen. Anybody else? From now on, says it. From now on, just now, from this moment forward, from now on, henceforth, listen, that ye henceforth walk not. What does walk not mean? Don't do it. This is in the New Testament where we're under grace. Do not. Praise God. We don't think there's any don'ts under grace. We think there's all do. Just do what you do, what you do. Make yourself happy. That ye henceforth walk not. Anybody, I was edumacated a while back about 420, it being, I'll just call it a holiday for potheads. You know, even, why are you smiling? Uh-huh. No, not bad. Even Governor Jerry Brown has sense enough to say no to legalization of marijuana. Jerry Brown, a liberal Democrat, and his reasoning is who wants a pothead working at the job? they sitting at the computer screen spaced out. Get to work, man. Oh, okay. Come on, anybody that smoked it, no, you trip. You will trip. Like Jesse the Planet said, man, I went on all kinds of trips and never left the room. He's talking about LSD. But even with marijuana, but 420, they're out at parks celebrating marijuana. I don't know all the history behind that stuff. But it's like one of their days of celebration that they celebrate, and they get out in the parks and puff away. And it's like, for what? See, that's what the ungodly do. That's what the heathen do. Why? Because they have no answer, no hope. It's their way of escape for a moment, if you will. You do it, and then you come down, and then you got to face reality. So then you go and puff some more so you can stay where you're at. But they celebrated that this while we were celebrating resurrection, the resurrection of our Lord. They're out there celebrating. It's a great day for them. It was a holy day for us, but it was an unholy day for them in their allegiance to Mary, last name Juana. I'm not beating up on people. I'm just saying. He says that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Now, he's talking to Gentiles, former Gentiles, if you will. And he says, that's what you did when you were out there with them. Now that you're in the kingdom, don't live like them no more. Live like sons and daughters of the kingdom. I'm still giving you time to get your scriptures ready. In the vanity of their minds. Listen to this. In the Amplified. So this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord. Now Paul would speak and he would tell you when he's speaking of his own opinion. And then he'd tell you when he's speaking in the name of the Lord. As if God is telling him to say this. So he says, in the name of the Lord, as in his presence, that ye must no longer live as the heathen, the Gentiles do in their perverseness, in the folly, vanity, and emptiness of their souls, and the futility of their minds. Excuse me. In other words, don't do things that have no purpose. Don't do things just to have a temporary break from life. Live on target, live on purpose, live on point. We once were aimlessly going through life, but now we got a reason to be alive. Hallelujah. Thank you for that one person that's glad that they got a reason to be alive in Christ Jesus. The rest of y'all might catch up next week. Amen. Gentiles aimlessly live with no purpose, no mission. They just exist from day to day. God's sons and daughters live with purpose for the glory of God. And in everything that they do in word and in deed, it is to express the glory. We talked about that last week, and that was so good. I went home and just meditated some more on that and just ate and just ate and just ate. And then more scriptures started leaping up in my spirit as I just, you know, because I just think that the word of God is good. I can get happy just by reading it myself. I get happy when I hear somebody else speak about it. It does something to my spirit. When I hear a word that comes from God, I know it's his word, I come alive. Amen. Giving you time to find that scripture. Listen, verse 18. I'll read it from the King James and then I'll read it from the Amplified. Having the understanding darkened. Amplified says, their moral understanding is darkened and their reasoning is beclouded. Even their reason for what they do don't make no sense to God. And no matter how justified we might think that we are, if it's something that the world is doing that we once did when we were of the world, henceforth. Tell your neighbor, henceforth. Don't do it no more. You know, don't put stuff out there on Facebook that don't reflect who you are in Christ. Somebody put it out there. It's amazing how people will put what they put. Somebody said something about Christians and how Christians get out there. Oh, they put this thing out there. And it's like on the one hand, they're saying something good. And then on the other hand, they're cussing somebody out on Facebook. Somebody, you must have saw that. The two ladies, y'all saw that? It's because that's the way it is. And it's like there's got to be a henceforth in the lives of the sons and daughters of God. You know, we once did those things, but henceforth we do those things no more. Well, it still feel good. That's why you did it, because it felt good. But it was taking you to a place where you didn't want to go. You don't want the end result of living like a Gentile. That's why we came to Jesus. We can't come to Jesus and still do the things of the world and think that because we're in Jesus, we're going to be saved because we're in Jesus. No, Jesus is like this. If you're in me and I'm in you, you're going to reflect me in everything you say and do. Hallelujah. You're going to dread, you're going to hate the old lifestyle. You're going to hate when you fall into that trap. You're going to hate the very thoughts of worldliness. Not that you isolate yourself to where you're way over here. That's the only way you can remain safe is by being over in a corner, you know, no communication with nobody. It's like, no, God didn't call us to be cowards. You know, we don't have to hide in a corner. God gives us power to live the life he's called us to. And so instead of, you know, giving over to the power and the indulgence of an unsanctified life, give ourselves over to the power of a sanctified life in Christ Jesus, and henceforth don't do those other things, because the power is there to keep us from violating the will of God. Amen. That's better than what the response was, but it's okay. It really is okay. And this is not a beat me up. This is just a reality. This is where when you try and justify being worldly, it's because our mind is still beclouded. It's still darkened. You know, we understand what it is to have, like, you know, you see somebody and it's like they got a dark cloud over them, like the spirit of oppression and depression is over them, and they're just always down and stuff. But people aren't just always down engaging in some of these worldly affairs. They're up, and they think that they're okay. And it's like, you're not okay. It is not okay. And so it's like this, like what? Christ comes to illuminate. The opposite of darkness is light. Light represents revelation. Light represents understanding. Light represents the ability to see. Darkness represents the ability to not be able to see. I mean, some people have to have the bottle in order to comfort themselves. And it's like, is not the power of the Holy Ghost more powerful than alcohol itself? Do you know what kids are doing now? Who ever heard of smashing up Smarties to snort them to see what can happen? My mind used to be blown when they would take spray paint and sniff it, or glue and sniff it. I'm like, what in the world do you get off of sniffing glue? The stuff stinks. I mean, personally, but people get off on that. Their understanding is beclouded. It's vain. It's futile. There's no reasoning or rationale. Man, why do you snort crank?
I want to get high.
Why do you, I guess they shoot meth too. Why do you, how else do you intake it? Smoke it? Smoke it? Why do you smoke meth?
It made me feel good.
Man, a glass of tea on a cool, will make you feel good. Ice water on a hot day will make you feel good. Excuse me. Just waking up in the morning saying, this is the day that the Lord has made, I'll rejoice and be glad, and it will make you feel good if you allow the power of the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you to take. You don't need anything but water and bread to survive. And when we go after these things that Jesus is trying to deliver us from, it's because our understanding is still darkened. I haven't got the revelation. Some think they have got a revelation. I feel sorry for him, but, you know, Carlton Pearson feels like he's been enlightened. He's so enlightened that everybody's saved and nobody's going to hell. There is no hell. That's how enlightened he's become, a Holy Ghost-filled, fire-baptized preacher who led millions to salvation, I'm sure. Gabe T.D. Jakes, and we were watching one of T.D. Jakes' ministries, and he gave credit. He knew that when Carlton opened up the door to let him preach at Azusa, that was a platform that launched his ministry and helped T.D. Jakes become the T.D. Jakes he is today. And now all of a sudden, this individual feels like he's enlightened. He's not enlightened. He's darkened. It's amazing when darkness seems to be light. Jesus says, how gross is it if the light in you is darkness? Praise God. This is rich. So whenever you hear me talk about, you know, the understanding being darkened, this is what I'm referencing, the Word of God, not my own theology or own opinion. It's like, no, your understanding is still darkened if you want to do the very things that violate the will of God for the sake of pleasure. If you want to do stuff that you used to do when you were out there unsaved and ungodly, your understanding is darkened. If you think you can do it freely with no consequences, your understanding is darkened. He's gotten a hold of your mind. The rationale for it. Why do you want to do it? You know, why do you want to drink? Why do you want to smoke? Why do you want to cuss? Because you feel you can get away with it? Or because it makes you feel good? The rationale behind it is futility. It's vain. And there's no rationale to it. Why would a person, listen, I'm not comparing nobody to me, but I know this, I wasn't walking with Jesus, but I was on the path, and I know my mother's prayers were covering me, but when my mother went in for surgery for a quadruple bypass and didn't come out, she came out on a gurney, but she was no longer alive. That doctor told all of us, he said, your mother and your father smoke cigarettes, and both of them are dead. One's dead at 58, the other's dead at, I think it's 56, almost 56. And he said, if I were you, I would not smoke cigarettes. Do you know I quit smoking cigarettes? Boom. Quit. Why? Because I saw what it did to my parents. I can't say, well, I'll say, nah, Jesus got a hold on me. I just prayed for God for my healing, so I'm a puff. You see, I still know how to do it, but I don't do it. What am I doing? Come on, somebody knows, see? Yeah. When I came to Jesus, I used to drink beer, drink hard alcohol, good stuff. I quit drinking the rot gut stuff. Some of you know what rot gut stuff is. That's the cheap stuff. You know, Jesus came in, I quit drinking, I quit the other stuff. One thing I didn't ever think I'd get delivered from until the Lord convicted me on a path while I'm out there taking my last puff. Remember what you told me when you came to me. Before you came, remember what you told me. Now, he wasn't talking to me like that, but I'm talking because I got this inhaled in me. And he's talking to me, well, I got this because I just take me a hit. Yes, Lord. I mean, you say you come all the way? Yes, Lord, then come all the way. Okay. The grace that you have is to get you right with God so you'll never go back to what he delivered you from. That's the grace to empower you to overcome those things and then face the very devil that had you in bondage, slap him, and then set somebody else free that's bound by the same thing that you were bound by. Don't settle for a half tank of grace. You can use it. No, let your tank be full to overflowing with the grace, because the grace brings the power. Power to set you free. Otherwise, we're doing things that to God is like, man, that's futility. Let's sit down and talk about this. He said it with Isaiah. He says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I shall make them as pure as wool. Come on, state your case. What you got to say? Let's sit down and talk about this thing. Okay, well, I want your salvation, but I still want to have pleasure in life. Okay, what kind of pleasure you want? I got all kind of pleasure up here in glory. What kind of pleasure you feel you need? Well, I want to still do this. I want to still do that. I want to still do this. I want to still do that. I want to still do this. I want to still go over here. I want to still do this. I want to do all of these things. And God says, that's what the ungodly do. You mean you still want to do the things that the ungodly do, and I am making you godly? Let's talk about this. Let's reason together. And God will say, how about we do this? How about I deliver you from this and deliver you from that and deliver you from this and deliver you from that and deliver you from this and deliver you from that and keep you from going over there because I'm going to have you going over here. How about let me use you for my glory? How about we work this thing out together? How about I give you the life, the abundant life that I called you to have? How about instead of being a dim bulb, you can be a bright light for all the world to see? How about we work things out that way? Well, I like what I like. Okay. Then you're a reprobate. A who? A reprobate. What's that? Somebody who keeps pursuing what is harmful and dangerous to them, even though the truth has been revealed to them, they still want to go after this. That's a person that's reprobate. I can't even help you. I have to give you over to that reprobate mind. You're not thinking right. There's no rationale to what you're doing. You're still under the veil and the cloud of the devil. You think I want to make your life miserable? You think I want to cut off fun? You haven't seen fun. Your pleasure is harmful.
my pleasure is joyful. I can take you up and keep bringing you up. Yeah. That's what I have for you. See, you want the blessing, but you don't want the transformation. I want to bless you, but I want to transform you too.
So God says our understanding is darkened when we still continue in the path of the Gentiles. The Bible don't say that, but what it does say is that the Gentiles having their understanding darkened, and so if we do the same things that the Gentiles do, then that means our understanding is darkened. So, you know, 2 + 2 = 4 all over the world. You can make that valuation right there because it's written. Being alienated or cut off from the life of God. Is that what we want? We want God, but we want to be cut off from his life? God's like, no, man, there's an attachment. What's in me has got to flow in you and through you to others. Praise God. Amen. 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 He says, their moral understanding is darkened and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, estranged, self-banished from the life of God with no share in it. That is because of the ignorance, the want, or the lack of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them due to their hardness of heart, to the insensitiveness of their moral nature. And these are the things that God is trying to protect us from. See, when we come to him, we don't know everything. When we come to him, we got a clouded, darkened mind. Our understanding is worldly. And so then God starts to teach us. He teaches us about us. And he teaches us about him. And he's the very opposite of this. And this is what he invests in us. He invests himself. He doesn't give us somebody else's spirit. He gives us his spirit. Amen. He doesn't give us somebody else's life. He gives us his life. You know how you can be impacted and affected or impressed by other people? They can say some things that highly impress you. And they can have some antics that highly impress you. And before you know it, you're talking like they talk. You're walking like they walk. You have the antics they have because they have made an impression on you. That can happen with the transference of an anointing, if you will. But there's that impressionable element, for lack of better words, that we can get moved by, and before we know it, we're imitating them. And so when God imparts his spirit to us, we imitate. I can use it because Paul used it. He says, follow me as I follow Christ, or imitate me as I imitate Christ. In other words, Christ has invested himself. He has branded us, he has put his seal on us, that we are his. And with all of that comes a reflection. How did we get the name Christians? Why didn't we get the name barbarians, Scythians? Why did the church in Antioch, why were they first called Christians there? What was it about them that made others say, these are Christians? And it wasn't like I said before, they weren't complimenting them. They weren't like, oh, wow, they're Christians. Oh, they're Christians. Why? Because they were reflecting Jesus. And when we reflect Jesus, we will get that kind of response from the ungodly. Not everybody's going to respond that way, because some people are going to believe in us and are going to believe in our word. But we can't be surprised when somebody, Christians hate them. So we want everybody to love us and receive us, and it ain't going to always work that way. So how did we get all over there? I don't know. I haven't a clue. I know I was going to have you read scriptures tonight. I guess y'all didn't find, enough of y'all didn't find scriptures. The Holy Ghost said, they ain't ready. Do you get this? Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's go there. Second Corinthians chapter 10. When you get there, shout amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to this. We don't want to think like the world. God's trying to deliver us from that. We want to think like sons and daughters of the Most High God. And from that standpoint, we don't want to engage in anything that's of the world that would cause our God to be grieved or the Spirit of God to be quenched, or to feel like we still want to be like what he brought us out of. No, it's like, no, Papa, I want to be yours. Crying out every time you think a wrong thought, crying out. You know, every time you do something wrong, crying out. You know, not giving over, not just say, well, you know, it's okay. You know, if I'm thinking it already, after all, what Jesus said, if a man think it in his heart, you know, it's just as good as doing it, so I'm going to go ahead. No. Repent. With a thought. Kill the thought. Kill it right in the mind. The sooner you kill it, the better off you're going to be. The more you allow it to linger and fester and entertain you, the worse it's going to be. You don't want to allow the enemy. That's how he develops strongholds within our mind. This is where the battlefield goes on with the individual in the mind. Those thoughts start to bombard you. And if you don't do what the word of God says, it will take you over. And all you got to do is dwell on it long enough, and before you know it, you're going to go find yourself in it. Second Corinthians chapter 10, are you there? You know this very well too. Listen to this, verse 4. Oh, let's go to verse 3. Verse 3 is a good one too. For though we walk in the flesh, now is he saying we walk according to the flesh? What is he saying? What is he saying? Though we live in this earthly body, though we live in this, okay, we don't war according to this. Satan will defeat us every time. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh or according to the flesh. Amplified says it like this. For though we walk, live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. Listen to this. For the weapons of our warfare, the weapons of our warfare, the weapons of our warfare, the battle, the conflict, the fight, that goes on. Our weapons against that warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty. You don't have nothing in front of you, around you, that is greater than the one who's on the inside of you. But you can't fight against it in the power and the indulgence of your flesh. You have to allow the Spirit of God to rise up within you. And as you allow the Spirit of God to rise up within you, you're going to dethrone the devil right where he's trying to reign. He says it like this. He says, for though we
walk in the flesh. We don't war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to the pulling down of strongholds, to the pulling down of strongholds. And listen to what he says in verse 5, casting down imaginations. That is personal, and that is also dealing with somebody else. Personal in the sense, where do the imaginations go on? In the mind. So personal, when the thoughts start raging and get out of control, you don't let your mind just run all over the place. Let your mind be cultivated like a well-manicured lawn. It could be like that, or it could be full of weeds. The weeds represent the ungodly thoughts that come against the knowledge of God, come against the power of God, come against the word of God.
Some of y'all looking at me like, you cannot come up with an excuse against who you are. What do I mean by that? You're a child of the Most High God. You already have the victory. Don't try and come up with no excuse against it. You don't know what I'm going through. Don't matter. There's no qualifications or no, you know, like, you know, well, in this situation it might be different, or that situation. No, in every situation, you have power, you have authority over the thoughts and arguments that go against the knowledge of God. But you must do like he says. You bring every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ Jesus. You tackle that thing. Man, I just can't help it. Every time I get to a computer, you know, and they be tempting me. They put these things on. I was telling Sister, I think it was Sister Lauren. I said, you know, the stuff that they do from the information, it's like, how in the world, first of all, I go on my computer, I log in. All of a sudden, on my right side, which would be the left side of the screen, here it comes up.
50+. Age 50 plus single women in your area.
Oh, she look good.
I try my best not to look at that. I try to kill it, but you can't. They're advertisements. They pay for those advertisements. That's why they're there. If I want to get rid of them, I probably got to pay Yahoo some money, so that they'll stop advertising on that computer. But they use all kind of bait. You go to certain sites innocently, and then all of a sudden you see on the sideline, you go shopping on the internet and then go to another site and watch the place that you were shopping at pop up.
Maybe that hasn't happened to you. I like to go on, and sometimes I like to look at Paul Frederick's clothing line. It's one of the places that I shop. And so I'll go in there and click and see what they got, and it's like, oh, nothing. And then I go to, you know, taking care of business and stuff, and then all of a sudden, here's Paul Frederick's. We're having a sale.
They track you. They track your information to lure you in. And so, it's playing on my weakness. Because see, it don't necessarily, that's just an example. You know, it could be something else that comes up. Whatever your weakness is, you got to be like Larry Holmes. These are old stories, but they make a good point. Some of you probably don't even know Larry Holmes. Larry Holmes was one of the greatest boxers because he learned from the greatest of all times. He used to be the sparring partner of Muhammad Ali. So he learned how to box. And when Muhammad Ali's days were over, Larry Holmes came. And he became the heavyweight champion of the world. They had this person named Jerry Cooney. And Jerry Cooney was knocking people out with just one punch. He made Joe Frazier bounce off the canvas. He hit him so hard. kaboom, kaboom. He literally bounced off the canvas. He hit him so hard. But he would knock people out with just a couple of punches. And so he got in the ring with Larry Holmes. And Larry Holmes knew that Jerry Cooney was good for beating the body. And if he hit him in like the ribs, he could break a rib, or in the stomach, he might knock the wind out of him. But Larry Holmes built up his body. This is the point. You build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God. You build yourself up on your weaknesses. You don't let a weakness remain a weakness in you. You boast in the strength and power of God over that weakness. The greater one is in me in this area, and he's able to keep me from stumbling and from falling. So you combat that thing instead of just, it's a weakness, it's a weakness. I know I need to stop. Stop in Jesus' name. Put the word on that situation. The power of the Holy Ghost resident within you. He don't bow down, cower down, give in, and give over to something that comes against you. He will mount up that much more greater on the inside of you so that you can have assured victory. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and vain imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity. That works personally. And it also works in dealing with others when you're witnessing and evangelizing. To be able to cast down their arguments, because one promise we have, which is still valid today, that God will confirm his word with the accompanying signs. If the word don't get him, the signs will. And if they resist the signs, Lord, I don't know what it's going to take, but we did our part. Personally, this is where we need to really focus in on. Because if we're going to do anything for God, we got to make sure we have victory in all areas of our lives. I didn't say we had to be perfect and do everything just right. I pray that we get to that place. But as we're striving to get to that place, we should be able to overcome. Because see, the devil can't come at me with the stuff that he used to have me with. He knows. And there's nothing new under the sun that he can come at you with. He might dress it up a different way, but there's nothing new under the sun that the enemy could come at you with. What's keeping us from being bold and confident in the things of God? What is keeping us from turning the city upside down for Jesus? What is keeping us from having joy and having peace? And what is keeping us from being alive and just, you know, all it takes for some of us is just one bad thing, and we're knocked out of the saddle for a couple of weeks. We got to recover, like, you know, like we've been in a fighting match, and they punched us so hard we had to go to the hospital in order to recover and recuperate. No, we're made like this. The enemy can, that's the best you got. You know, he hits us, boom. You're in trouble when you hit somebody with your best shot and they smile at you. You might want to take off running. So when the enemy hits you, you don't have to invite him. You know, that's probably the worst thing some of us can do is invite him. But if he hits you, is that the best you got? You got to come with something better than that, because the greater one is on the inside of me. You used to knock me out with that punch, but it don't work no more. I let Jesus be Jesus in that area. You know, I'm using the body, but you can use the things that the weaknesses or strongholds where the enemy once had you. Did we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 10? You can't even let bills get in your way. Amen. Amen. Some of them, they're afraid to stand up and applaud that Deacon Aquino. They're like, well, you don't have my bills. We all made our bills, and we all have to lay in bed with those bills that we made. The reason we have those bills is because we spent money that we didn't have, and all we need to do is repent. That's what we got to do is repent and ask God, forgive us in this area. Help us to turn this thing around, because he can't help you if you don't ask. And if you ask amiss, that's asking, Lord, give me some more money so I can go spend. That's the wrong attitude. No, Lord, help me get out of debt. Help me to overcome this, and I'm not going to go out there and create what I'm asking God to deliver me from. That was better than your response, but it's okay. It's okay. Amen. Lord, deliver me from debt as I go and charge this. Well, I'm doing it in the name, and I'm sending this money to the no. Mm-mm. Honor God with your tithes and offerings. He knows where you're at. You need some seed, God will have somebody come and give you the seed. He'll give you seed to sow and bread to eat. But he will help us to get out of our dilemmas so that we can be a reflection of his glory and not an imposter. Stand to your feet. Oh, it's up there on the screen. Okay, I have to preach another 10 minutes because it's up here on the screen. Imaginations, that goes on, images in the mind. Every high thing that exalts itself against what? What is the knowledge of God? The will? What is the will? Okay. The word of God. Everything. Every high thing, high and lofty thing, devils included, that exalts or boasts itself against the knowledge of God, that includes evolution. It exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That includes Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism. How many of you have heard of Pilates, that new craze? I should ask how many of you are involved in it. You need to know that Pilates is a form of yoga, which has its roots in Eastern mysticism and religions and things like that, and that's cultic. And you don't need to engage in that. But it's good stretching. You can stretch without worshiping a demon. Amen. In high school, in junior high school, they taught us how to stretch. They never said, now we're going to focus. We're going to center ourselves. And now they do that in martial arts kind of stuff. So let me get on the martial arts people. You make sure you don't fall into those traps worshiping those demons. We're going to focus. We're going to center. I had to tell Felicia. Felicia was good at that. She'd be stopping. I said, firstborn, Pilates has its roots in yoga. She's drats. She had to quit. I mean, stretching is good, but not worshiping a demon. Or giving over to somebody's, yeah. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. This is not written like some people think. Well, nobody can live like that. Nobody can live up to that. Like it's just putting a carrot out there to say, you know, you can't measure up to this. And the reason I'm putting it out there is so you won't try and measure up, but now you'll trust in the grace of God to save you. God's trying to arm us. Praise God. Isn't he a good God? I mean, he loves us with an everlasting love to bring us to himself, and then he arms us. David said it like this. He teacheth my hands to war.
Why? Because there's a devil out there. And God doesn't want a weak army hiding out with tribulation food, hoping for the rapture to come.
Father, thank you for tonight. We just rejoice in you. We probably better end before something else falls or happens. But Lord, continue to arm us with the power and the authority of your word and your spirit. And Lord God, teach us. Teach us to come against the principalities. Teach us to come against the spirits. Spirits of darkness. Teach us to come against sorcery and idolatry and witchcraft, incantations. Teach us to come against the lies and the deceptions. Keep us, Lord God. Keep the veil off of our mind, Father, that we don't fall into the traps that the enemy lays out for us, Lord God. Keep us. Sanctify us. Even as we sanctify ourselves. We love you. And we bless your wonderful name. You are worthy. And you are great. And you are greatly to be praised. Honor and adore you. Break every stronghold. We can't just sing the song, Break Every Chain, and I know we haven't sang it in a while, but there's a reason why it's the word to stir up faith in us. We can't live like the one with the beam in our eyes, looking at the splinter in our brother's eyes and saying they need deliverance. No, we have to be delivered ourselves. Being ready to punish all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. Being willing to deal with things in others as we have dealt with things within ourselves. And hallelujah. We don't want a clouded, beclouded, cluttered mind full of mess. We want the mind of Christ, Father. We don't want to engage in the things that you set us free from. We don't want to be dull to the Spirit. At no time. We only want to be led by the Spirit at all times. And we give you praise. I cover everyone in the precious blood of the Lamb, those that had to leave as well as those that are here. And that your blessing will remain upon us, that you'll bless us and keep us and make your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us and lift up your countenance on us and give us your peace. That your name be over us, be over our household. That you might bless us, that we can enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, we'll prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. Father, help us to turn this city upside down for you, Jesus. We thank you for everything that you've done and all that you're doing. We're excited about what you're going to do, Father. Let your fire burn within us. In Jesus' name. Everybody who agrees said amen. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five, a holy hug. You can bring your offerings if you have an offering. We'll get an offering basket up at the platform. And hold fast to the scripture.